fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side.
Welcome to the program. I'm Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. Now, if anybody has listened to me for any time at all, you know, a lot of times the question will come up, well, Jim, you know, you've been doing these shows for about 18 years now, and surely you have one subject that fascinates you the most, that if you could get the answers, that would be the thing you would want to know. And I always say the same thing. It's the afterlife. The reason is because, you know, we cover things like ghosts and UFOs and strange creatures and all these different things, but we might not all see a ghost. We might not all see a UFO or a strange creature, but we all have this journey to make, even if you believe in survival of the soul, which I do, we have this journey to the afterlife. And it's the great mystery. And we are going to have someone with us today who is going to help us delve into that mystery and maybe give us some answers, actually. I'm talking about Stephen Paul Chong, and he is the author of a new book, The Afterlife, A Journey to Now You Know What Will Happen. And we're so glad to have him with us. It's going to be a fascinating talk. Stephen is an author, speaker, and screenwriter who draws his inspiration from life. Themes of life that relate to us all, love, grief, struggle, overcoming obstacles, culminating in his inspirational novels, his 5 feature film screenplays, and multiple short stories. And I think this story is maybe the most important of all. What will happen to us in the afterlife? Stephen, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, Jim, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, and you're calling in today from Australia, and you said you're in kind of a chilly hotel room. So thank you for soldiering through and being on the program.
Pleasure indeed.
So, I mean, with your background, someone might ask why you delved into this subject, but I suspect it's because of your own experience. Is that right? And can you tell us about it?
Yes, Jim. Actually, what happened approximately 3 years ago now, and as you do when you're on the wrong side of 60, you get up on the roof and clean out the gutters, and I fell off. And about 5 meters, and I fractured my neck, and the spiritual awakening experience that occurred from that, it was so profound. But it has resulted in this wonderful book. What had transpired prior to that event is I'd shut down. I'd stopped all of my writing. I said, I'm old, I'm retiring, I'm done. I'm going to plant tomatoes in the garden. But after the event, and I must say, not at that same time, but during the rehabilitation, which, you know, I'm on the couch for 3 months, good for nothing, can barely move.
Sure.
And I kept having this, I had the title in my head, and sort of I knew what it was. It was pounding away. It was The Afterlife, Journey Too. And I knew what it was, and it was the universe saying to me, Stephen, there's more for you to do. I've got a task for you. And I'm sort of saying, leave me alone, go away, I'm done. You know, I'm too old. But I've relented and said, okay, to spirit, you want me to write this thing? Okay, I'm in. But the afterlife, what do I know? I know nothing. But still, I said, okay, I'm in. And I, as soon as I've made that commitment, it was like a door opening to say, okay, thank you. Here, I'm going to give you, you know, this gift. And as soon as that happened, I sat to write. And like, well, when I do these things, I'm quite disciplined. So I set times and things. But it was like I saw the images and heard the words and the colors and the music all in heaven. So this is all occurring in heaven. And it was like, honestly, Jim, it was like taking dictation. I had no storyboard, no character, I had nothing to write with. But it was as soon as I've said yes to like opening that door, this information, this gift poured through. And honestly, it has changed my life so profoundly. It's been a wonderful gift.
This may sound like an odd thing to ask, but do you think that the universe or the spirit or God or whatever you want to call it, do you think you were meant to fall off of that roof for a reason?
I should ask my wife that because she was, it was, I at the time when I fell off, I quite honestly should be dead because where we live, we're very remote. There was no near neighbors for hundreds and hundreds of meters. And this particular morning, my wife happened to be there and saved me. Otherwise, I'd still be there on the ground. But to answer your question directly, it required that unfortunate accident for me to turn my purpose back around to something more profound than planting tomatoes.
So when you experienced this, you fell off the roof. I'm assuming you went immediately unconscious and then you were transported to this place?
Not at that time, Jim. No. When I had the accident, I couldn't, and I was numb from neck down, and I thought, I'm in profound trouble here.
Sure.
But the revelations occurred after I'd said yes to that spirit. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I think most people, and maybe not everybody, I think there's certainly people who either through religious faith or just feel that, I've lived my life or whatever, and whatever happens, happens. I'm sure there's some people who are not afraid of death, but I think most people on some level are. I would count myself in that. Do we need to be afraid of death?
The profound answer to that, Jim, is no. And I've got to tell you an experience that has occurred over the past 2 months, consequential. And I mentioned before that this experience has changed my life profoundly. About 2 months ago, I lost my beautiful mother. Now, she is near mid-80s, but she was a wonderful being, a beautiful spirit. And you feel grief for that loss, of course. However, and knowing now what I know from the learnings from writing this book, the grief is not debilitating. It's totally empowering. It's as if I know, because she was such a beautiful being, I know where she's gone. I know where to find her in the heart. And I know how to connect with her. And it's like she's saying to me, Stephen, get on with it. Go forward. Realize your purpose. So the grief is not debilitating. It's so empowering, if that makes sense. But that's come as a consequence of the things, as the author, I learned from the writing of the book and this experience.
Now, do you find that a lot of what other people or people who have actually had NDEs at the time of their accident or whatever happened, do you find that a lot of what they share maps to what you found?
It's a very interesting question, Jim, and one that I've, given thought to subsequent to writing the book and like, why me? Why has been given to me in this form. And now my understanding is like from a reader's point of view, they can look, one can have an NDE and you experience marvelous things. But from a reader's point of view, it's an objective experience. So they're looking at somebody else and going, wow, isn't that interesting, and that's kind of cool.
Right.
However, in this case, because this gift has been given in story form and it's first person narrative, so I'm seeing heaven through this character's eyes. So because it's in story form, a reader can Yeah, you could read the book literally at one level and go, yes, that's good, that's bad, I like, I don't like, and that's okay.
Right.
But you can delve deeper. You can look at the allegories, the fables, and the tales, and go, oh, okay, I get that too. But at a deeper level, you can see what they call the metaphysical, the laws of heaven and earth. And I've got to tell you, Jim, it's very interesting. After writing the book, and this, 2 or 3 months after writing the book, and as an editor, you've read it 100 times. And there come a point where the little voices in my head were saying, Stephen, you missed something. I go, what? Read it again. And I've read it 100 times. Okay, so I read it again. And what I found were these laws of heaven and earth. Laws, you know, these metaphysical laws. And I found 15 of them. And there might be more, but I found 15. That you go, wow. And they are laws that help make life a better place. So in the reading of it, you can delve to these levels where you find you can experience these laws of heaven and earth. But even deeper than that, which is quite remarkable, you can read a book of this nature and have your own mystical experience. It's where you go, oh, get that. Oh, that's like the aha moment. Mm-hmm. Where your own inner truth is revealed. So the experience of reading a book like this becomes more subjective rather than seeing, yeah, objective. It's not somebody else's experience, it's yours.
Now, in terms of your revelations, you know, for those of us who have followed, for example, the tenets of Christianity, in my case, for example. And, you know, there's discussion of heaven, hell, in some denominations, there's purgatory and those kind of things. Did you find that mapped to what you learned of the revelations that you had, or were there stark differences?
Yes. Again, very interesting question. One of the laws... And again, just by my background, this character is stuck in this purgatory, these mists.
Right.
As a child, he was abused by under the auspices of the clergy by a priest. And he subsequently took his own life. And so he is stuck in this purgatory. And he couldn't get out by virtue of the anger and the shame that he felt. He was stuck and he couldn't see the light to get out of this purgatory. But the great revelation of that, these mists, this purgatory, is one of the laws, and I'll read it to you if you don't mind.
Sure, please do.
It says, what you have caused to affect in your fellow man is what declares your place in heaven. So what you have done to, what you sow shall you reap. Yes, we know this is a law of the Bible, John 14. But what you have caused to affect in another is what declares your place in heaven. So what I saw with this, when souls leave these mists, this purgatory, they are robed. I saw these beautiful robes. Like a person's aura and shimmering colors. Colors I could barely, forget the seven colors of the rainbow. This is colors that I'd never experienced before. But because of what you've done in life, you exit these mists and robed in these robes of different colors. And what I saw were these, some souls would come through in their shimmering white, gold, beautiful colors, and they would move up on a particular pathway of that's designed for them. But there were others that come through these mists, and they were clothed in this dark Hessian brown colors, and they had to follow the pathway that was designated for them. And that was consequential, obviously, of the actions they'd taken in life.
The life review, which often we hear, the way I've always heard it described, of course, that old saying, your life flashes in front of your eyes. I've also heard people, and I've spoken to people who have had NDEs, and they talk about you see things from the view, to your point about how you've treated other people and so forth. They see things from the perspective of others. You know, maybe when you made that sharp comment to someone, how did the person on the other end of that experience it? Did that map to the revelations in the story of your character?
Yes, absolutely. And there's two other laws of heaven that relate to that, Jim. And one, again, I'll read one to you. In heaven, the emperor wears no clothes. So what I understand from that law is that whether you are king or prince or pauper, it is what you have caused to affect in another that determines your place in heaven. We are all one in spirit, so what I do to another, I do to myself. So to answer your question directly, yes, the life review, here it is, law number 7. In your life review, all shall be revealed, no thought or action insignificant, all remembered to record. Which kind of explain. So everything we've done is there. Yes.
Is it a case though in terms of judgment or you know what is it? And I won't get the quote right, but in the Bible it says something: "All have fallen short of the glory of the Lord." It's a paraphrasing, but that's the idea. You know, in other words, we've all sinned. We've all done wrong. So is that taken into account and is there grace given?
Well, one of the laws, Jim, again, number 2, the judgment of heaven is neither vindictive or eternal, but probationary and remedial. So, you know, we all hear that, you know, we commit sins and we're in eternal hellfire. But that's not my understanding from the learnings, from this book. Yes, we do a real life review and we are confronted with ourselves. We see what we have done to others and we need to bear the consequences of that. But it is not eternal. We still continue to evolve through the heavenly realms. And the main character of the book, that's exactly what he did.
Now, let me give you something that I'm really rooting for, if there is a heaven, and I like to think that there is, but if there is one thing that I've always thought, now, that would be really nice, and what I'm envisioning, and this sounds so mundane and so pedestrian, but this is just my idea of something. I'm not saying it would be the whole experience, but one of the experiences I would love to have is to have basically a family reunion on a campground and be able to get everybody together and say, oh, it's been so long since I've seen you. And maybe even to the extent of other people have passed and they never got to meet. Oh, here is my child. And you never got to meet my child. You know, I mean, many, many, many years from now, you know, like 200 years, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like people who have, I don't want it. Obviously, I want my children to live to be 150 years old. But you get my point. Like, people who had not had a chance to meet, and you could introduce people, and you could talk about old times, and then you could talk about the mysteries of the universe, kind of like an elongated family reunion. And that might seem kind of silly and kind of pedestrian when you're talking out about the big, profound questions and so forth. But that's something that appeals to me personally, and I'm sure it does to many people in their own forms. Is that something that is part of it, is a reunion of some type with those who have gone before?
Oh, absolutely, Jim. Two experiences, and remember, I'm seeing all this, and it's like a scenic railway tour where this character is taking me to these different areas, and I'm just describing what I'm seeing. But the first one that comes to mind, remember, I've got this guide next to me, and he's taken me to this beautiful building. And don't think like just glass and things. This is a Greco-Roman type alabaster marble, beautiful statuesque buildings. So we go into this building, and even now, as I describe it to you, I get chills in my spine. The love I felt when I walked into this building was so profound that I could, you know, I can barely describe it to you. And what I called it the school for children, because that's what I saw. So we enter this building, and there's lots of rooms, and there's beautiful angelic beings there, and in beautiful coloured robes, and they're in attendance to these young fledglings, babies. But and what I was told and shown was the children that have passed early from the earthly realm is where they are so beautifully nurtured by the Heavenly Father and his angelic beings. So, you know, if one, God forbid, loses a child early, to know that these beautiful young souls are so nurtured by the Father, the love was so profound. Let me say, I have even trouble explaining it to you. No child is left behind. Even if the bond between the parent and the child is somewhat tenuous, the Heavenly Father does not leave any child behind. Each soul is nurtured to the prime of their spiritual well-being. And whilst that might take away the grief of loss for somebody who has lost a child, but to know that they are so profoundly loved in the heavenly realms, it would be a great balm to their spirit.
Another thing that you talk about, which I think is really, really interesting, is a spirit guide school. What is the spirit guide school?
Yes, they're very interesting. And again, same as before, I get taken to these places. So
sure.
It was like what I saw was like a lecture hall where angels, spirits are there, and they're being taught to be spirit guides for us on Earth. So they are taught how to do this, how to be guides. And what I understand from that, all of us, each of us on Earth, have these spirit guides with us all the time. So we can call upon them at any time because they are there for us to help and guide us through whatever our trials are. But there was a specific school that I was taken to and shown where these angels are taught how to be guides.
That's fascinating.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, look, Jim, I couldn't make this stuff up in a million years.
Well, no, I fully...
It's what I saw.
I fully believe that. Now, I do want to ask you, though. I mean, I think there are going to be people out there that say, Stephen sounds like a great gentleman, fine writer, but this is something that... you know, came to him, but maybe it was some kind of, and this is not me speaking, but I could see other people saying, was this some kind of medically induced hallucination? Was it this? Was it that? The other? What would you say to those folks? Because I know they're out there. I know those naysayers are out there.
Oh, I understand totally, Jim. I've never taken a drug in my life, although I do enjoy a glass of wine on the occasion. So there was nothing drug-induced about it. And I've got to tell you, Jim, that people have asked me, were you channeling? Are you a medium? And I'm not at all comfortable with that. But what it was like tuning in, like a radio dial, mm-hmm. you know, where you tune the frequency. Because every time I sat to write, it was there. I never knew it was coming. I had no idea, no storyboard, no nothing. But it was locked, and I cut off distractions so there'd be no phones, no interruptions or sort of rubbish. But every time I sat without fail, the next part was given to me. And I dictate, write this stuff because I heard the dialogue and saw the colours and the music and things mm-hmm. I'm writing. And I'd read it back and I'd go, oh my God, where did that come from? But it was always there. So, yeah, certainly not drug induced, but it was a total gift. And as I say, like tuning a radio dial, just tuning in to spirit. That's what it was.
What surprised you most as opposed to what you thought about the afterlife prior to all of this? What surprised you the most?
Ah, that's a very good question. The surprising thing, Jim, is not only the revelations, you know, what I saw and heard and that was profound. I mean, that was remarkable and a great gift. But the real key to the whole process for me is how we translate that to make life a better place. So knowing what I now know of the afterlife, one, I have no fear. Two, I know exactly how to tune into those spirits, and I know they're always there. I know they're with me. I know where to find them. And given now my understanding of these laws of heaven, I'm now, even though I'm a bit old now, you know, I'm 66 and haven't got much time left perhaps, but I can now make life a better place for me and those around me, those my loved ones. And I write a book, I talk to nice people on podcasts. These are profound gifts that I, a few years ago, I would never have been attuned to.
I never got to talk to you before this happened, but I assume you seem like a very happy person. It seems like you're probably, I'm guessing you're happier now than you were before, no?
Happiness is a quotient, Jim, absolutely. But, you know, it's like I mentioned before, from a life point of view, I turned off. I said, you know, 60, thereabouts, plant tomato, Stephen, it's all good. No, sorry, Stephen, you've got more to do. And here's the gift. And if you so choose it, I will empower you with this gift. And that's exactly what's happened. So onwards and upwards. And even as I mentioned before, the loss of my mum and recently, only 2 weeks ago, my uncle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's been quite a couple of months. But yeah, and like I said, this is the grief for these loved ones is not disabling. It's totally empowering because I know where they are and I know where they've gone.
If there's, and you've probably already said it, but if there's one thing you could have people take from this interview, one truth about the afterlife, what would it be?
That's a very good question. And the answer to that is same as my own experience, is to read the story with an open heart, because that will open up one's inner truth. And the reader will find their own aha moment and go, oh, I get that. But then, yeah, and that's a beautiful experience. But then to translate that knowledge into the experience of making life a better place for oneself and the people that we love.
Well said, well said. Stephen, where can people get The Afterlife, A Journey to Now You Know What Will Happen? Where can people get it?
Jim, the probably the best place is on Amazon. It's fully available on those book depositories. Or they can get onto my website if they wish. It's www.stephen.chong.com.au. But probably, you know, the Amazon is probably the best place, Jim.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to ask you about a website, but you already told people. Give people that website one more time if you would.
It's www.stephenchong.com.au.
Excellent. Our guest today has been Stephen Chong. The book is The Afterlife, A Journey to Now You Know What Will Happen. Stephen, thank you so much. It's been a delight to speak with you.
Yes. Well, thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure indeed.
And thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. And we hope to talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.